Well, now we're joined on the line by the former New South Wales Liberal Premier, Nick Greiner, who's agreed to give us his only interview. He led the party between 1983 and 1992 and set up the Corruption Watchdog in 1989, the body that ultimately led to his undoing. Nick Greiner, thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure, Eleanor.
Now, your reaction today when you heard that Premier Barry O'Farrell had resigned?
Well, same as everyone else's. I was stunned and surprised, and I guess the irony in terms of my circumstances didn't take long to get into my mind.
Indeed, I imagine you felt some sense of sympathy with him in that sense.
I feel great sympathy with him in all sorts of ways, actually.
Well, now, you did take that similar course of action. You were cleared. Do you think that Barry O'Farrell should have resigned today?
Oh, look, I think the circumstances are very different. I mean, in my case, the ICAC actually wrote a report, made, I think, objectively a complete botch of it, and the Supreme Court said that they'd made a botch of it. I think Barry's judgment is a very different matter. It's a political judgment. He gave some very clear evidence yesterday, which is shown to be wrong. I think, and he's a better political operator than I ever was. I think his judgment was that it was politically unsustainable. It wasn't about the bottle of wine and did he or didn't he. I don't think you can be shown to have categorically misled ICAC and then indeed the public, and then continue. So I think his judgment was political rather than, in a sense, going to substance of an ICAC finding. I mean, indeed, ICAC has said, I think, that they are not seeking to make any adverse finding against him. So I think the circumstances are different.
But you agree he had no option but to resign?
I think that's a sensible political judgment, yes.
Did you ever regret resigning?
Yes. But the circumstances were very different. So, I mean, I don't know that your listeners want to go back into 25 years of history, but, in my case, the ICAC was wrong, was found to be wrong, and I should probably have stepped aside and allowed the courts to make their judgment. As I say, I don't think this is about courts reviewing what's happened to Barry and the ICAC. It is about a political situation from his point of view.
Now,
and it really does. It goes to his own self image of integrity, and he is, in my view, a person of just absolute integrity. So they're different situations.
Interestingly, Mr. O'Farrell says he still does not believe that he misled the inquiry. He says he believed the evidence that he gave to be truthful, but that he had what he called a significant memory fail. Does that sound plausible, though, to you?
Look, I believe him, I have to say. I mean, the counterfactual, Eleanor, would be to say that the Premier was so stupid as to deliberately mislead the world on something that could clearly be shown. I mean, there would at the end of the day have been a delivery docket, some courier did or didn't deliver it, and so on. So I think the notion that Mr. O'Farrell deliberately misled the world knowingly, I think is absurd from any point of view.
Was his mistake then in not having at least a member of his staff notice register the gift of the bottle of wine?
Maybe. Look, it may surprise you. I haven't followed the details of all this too closely. So I really don't want to comment on that. I don't know.
What about the general picture, though, Mr. Greiner? I mean, the Premier clearly downplayed his relationship with the head of Australian Water Holdings. He has been forced to clarify the statements that he barely knew Mr. DiGirolamo to now admitting that he spoke to him every couple of weeks. Do you get a sense that it is dangerous for politicians to get so close to companies lobbying for business and that he was actually trying to wriggle out of that?
Eleanor, I heard your eye. I wouldn't comment on his evidence. I'm not in the position to. I'm happy to comment on the interview you just did with Kerry Chikorosky. She and I often disagree. I agree with her on this. I think the media can over-finesse about lobbying. Lobbying is advancing the cause of your own cause. It's an entirely inevitable part of the democratic political process. The only thing is how you do it, how you behave, which I think is the point that Kerry was making. So I don't think you're not going to eliminate lobbying. It would be stupid to suggest that you should try and eliminate lobbying. There have been a lot of improvements since my time in terms of disclosure, and I think it is right that lobbyists should and ministers should say whom they see and all that sort of thing. But I don't think one should get one's knickers entirely in a knot. You should have lobbying. It is a legitimate part of the process. Whether it's a company, an environmental group, a charity, people are entitled in a democracy to advance their own interest. The only question is how do they do it, and do they do it in a principled, transparent sort of way?
And I guess the question now is that process transparent, and is it now corrupting the process of politics in New South Wales?
Look, I think it is. I think it's improved dramatically around Australia. And in fairness to Mr. O'Farrell, look, I think he's been at the forefront of trying to clear up the disclosure laws, the lobbying disclosure, as well as the donation disclosure. So I think Parry's really done a very good job. In some ways, the irony is similar to my creation of ICAC, I suppose. I don't think you need to change the rules anymore. It's about the way individuals behave. And at the end of the day, you know, individuals, politicians, businessmen, others, they're going to make mistakes, errors of judgment. And they have, as Barry said today, you take responsibility for the consequences of or the consequences of your actions. So I don't think you need new rules about lobbying, new rules about business. There has been very significant improvement. People just need to behave in accordance with normal principles, I think.
So what, in your view, was Barry O'Farrell's key error of judgment?
I think clearly not being able to. I mean, in a sense, it was simply the political error. I mean, as I said, I believe what he said. I believe that he was telling to the best of his recollection the truth. This happened at sort of a fraught time straight after the election. I don't know. I suppose people will divine the entrails and try and work out what his error was. But at the end of the day, his error was that I think, honestly, he honestly told ICAC something which turned out to be clearly not the case. And that's politically untenable.
Now, you say it's about how individuals behave. Have you been worried about the close connections that have been shown between the Liberal Party and this company that Nick DiGirolamo was running, Australian Water Holdings?
As I said to you, I don't follow all this these days too closely. You can't expect political parties and governments not to be lobbied by businesses and other people in their own interest. I mean, it happens daily, and it needs to happen. It's an inevitable part of the process. So it turns out, perhaps, and not for me to prejudge, that this particular company or some of the executives may not have behaved as well as they should. But I don't think you can live in a vacuum. I mean, politics and bureaucrats and ministers do have to deal with people who seek to advance their cause, and they deal with people who have the opposite view, are trying to achieve a different answer. So I don't think you should get too anxious about it. I think the state of integrity in terms of the rules in New South Wales is really pretty good. Clearly, some of the behaviour that's been shown in the other ICAC inquiry suggests that the reality of the behaviour is different. If I can make one more point, Eleanor, I do think it's a bit ironic. I mean, you know, Labor was in power for 16 years. They clearly were both hopelessly corrupt and hopelessly incompetent. You'd have to say, comparing what Mr. O'Farrell's resigned over to Labor, where nobody resigned, if I recollect it, on integrity grounds, is really rather an anomalous situation.
Yes, I think you're right there. But how much damage either way do you think his resignation has done to the Liberal Party?
Look, I think he's behaved properly and honourably, as I would expect of him. It's clearly not a plus for the Liberal Party, but I agree with what Ms. Chikorovsky said. There are good candidates. The Labor Party in New South Wales is beyond help. And in March next year, whoever's the Premier will get re-elected. I think this is very sad for Barry and his family, and it's obviously not a positive for the party or the government. But at the end of the day, I don't think it will change the long-term course of politics in New South Wales.
And just finally, Mr. Greiner, given that it's only really managed to claim two Liberal Premier scalps, do you ever regret setting up the ICAC?
No, I don't, Eleanor. I understand whenever these things happen, people argue about some of the particular behaviours. Are the public hearings necessary? Are they sort of show trials, more inclined to be trying to change public ideas and so on? I think you can see what's happening around Australia. There have actually been almost every state, I think practically every state now has a version of ICAC. So I don't think, I have no regrets about it. Sometimes ICAC makes mistakes. ICAC has just got flesh and blood lawyers and others working there. Sometimes they make errors of judgment, but I don't think you should throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think it is clear, and I'm sure this is Mr. O'Farrell's point of view, the institution is important. You might argue around the edges about some of the behaviours or the, you know, the processes, but by and large, the idea of an independent anti-corruption commission for the public sector has to be an enduring part of our lives, I think.
Nick Greiner, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Eleanor. Bye-bye.
And that's Nick Greiner, the former New South Wales Premier, who in fact set up the ICAC and was then forced or indeed decided to resign as a result of one of its inquiries.